are tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community in Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in studio with me Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik for his monthly visit. Mr. Slavik, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. It's always great to be here.
It's always good to have you in. I'd like to start with some recognitions that the county has published over the past few weeks. It's been a month since you've been here last, and since then we've noticed that there's been the 911 Dispatcher Appreciation Day, and then Professional Assistance Appreciation is always coming, is being celebrated kind of like right now. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the communicators, the people who work in the 911 communication office, and the professional assistance that you have all over the county.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I think we always start with the fact that part of what makes Dakota County such a great place is the workers that we have, so mm-hmm. The employees that we have. But, yeah, so the beginning of April was National 911 Dispatcher Appreciation Week.
Right.
And as you know, we have a consolidated 911 center in Dakota County. It actually has a board that's made up of elected officials and police chiefs and fire chiefs. I have served on it most of my career, including 5 years when I was on the city council, and a couple different stints on the county board. Currently serve as vice chair of that board. So,
okay.
So I'm pretty passionate about 911, and particularly what I really liked about our Dakota 911 is the fact of how we were able to, by a consolidated center, how much money we were able to save the taxpayers was really the driver on this. Is we used to have 5 911 centers across the county, and we consolidated to one. It's located County Road 46, Highway 3, the buildings by the county mm-hmm. in there. And so we have one consolidated center. We have a director, and every city and township, they all pay a certain percentage to make it happen. But we have an amazing crew of almost 60 dispatchers, many of them who happen to live in the listening area.
Sure.
And they work hard. They do an amazing job, very stressful. So, you know, we thank them for the great work they do. It's been especially with some investments as a result of some federal dollars. We now have been able to work with some mental health professionals, so the dispatchers are able to kind of go and bring on a crisis on the spot live to be able to help mm-hmm.
yep.
with these calls that, you know, that extra training that in the situations that are happening are not what they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. So we've now got a special mental health crisis team that is working in collaboratively with our 911 dispatchers. So we thank them today and every day.
I also like the stories that you hear every so often where a dispatcher receiving a call is able to decipher a situation from a caller. The most famous one that I can remember is someone calls up and says, go ahead. Or a caller calls up and says, I'm going to order a pizza. And he's like, this is 911. Do you know that? And through that, they're able to get help.
Yeah.
It's wonderful the way those dispatchers are trained, the wonderful the way that they can adapt to a situation and get the proper help where it's needed. And as they continue to get this training, we'll be able to dial in a little bit more the proper assistance for any given situation.
Absolutely.
Also, we did celebrate professional assistance that are employed throughout the mm-hmm. county, mm-hmm. the people that are the face of the county when you go to the offices, and the receptionists, the professional assistants in all aspects. Tell me a little bit about their contribution to the county.
So we always say the people who get the job done.
Right, exactly.
Whether that be in the private sector or public sector, it's very much so. So this past week we did honor that as well, and for all their great work as well. So
okay. And
we have one other big one that
sure.
happened. This past week also, the Governor Walz went and acknowledged all county workers. On April 26th of this year was the County Worker Appreciation Day in the state of Minnesota. So
mm-hmm.
so all county workers, from everything from our public health to our employment side of things to our county deputies to those who work in the jail, all employees, you know, which is almost 40,000 county workers across the state of Minnesota, but roughly 2,000 of them in Dakota County. So,
wow.
We thank them for all their great work as well and the contributions they do to our communities.
All right. And I understand that the county is always looking for qualified employees to fill some of these positions. You get kind of turnover and things like that. Where's the best place for someone to find out what's going on as far as job opportunities with the county?
Absolutely. And we have quite a, we have more openings than we would certainly like. We have over 100 openings right now at the county.
Wow.
And that's located all across the county. Most of them are Hastings, West St. Paul, or South St. Paul, but certain jobs are elsewhere. There is a little bit of a work-from-home balance, so it's many of the jobs will work some days in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Not every position. About half the jobs have to be every day
in person. Yeah. Sure.
But about half the jobs can, once you've gone through training, can be about a, you know, a couple days working from home. Mm-hmm. Most of it in the office. But so we have everything from sheriff deputies, jailers, some finance and HR within the Hastings campus.
Sure.
Community services, social services are all typically in either Apple Valley or West St. Paul, and traffic and transportation is in Empire Township. But so encourage you, if you go to the website dakotacounty.us, you'll actually find a spot that talks about employment, and please apply. We're looking for good people. You know, it's one of the few jobs that still has pretty impressive benefits with a pension and health and pretty good health insurance, but
okay.
We'd love to have good workers kind of go in and work for Dakota County.
And one of the real attractive things about working for Dakota County is that the budget of the county is very, very well managed. I was seeing this morning the information coming across my desk that Dakota County is being celebrated in other parts of the state for actually, and I don't know if I want to use this phrase, but I will, mm-hmm. You'd be celebrated for being debt-free.
Yeah, so.
And that's something that you have been proud of. Well, at the county, the board, and management have been proud of for what? We're going on 6 years now?
It's 6 years. The article said five, but it's mm-hmm. a little more than that one. But yes, it's the work really started about 8 years ago to kind of get in place to pay off all of our debt service, and mm-hmm. it has very much freed up the capabilities to do other things when you're not paying $5-6 million in interest and,
right.
and debt payments.
Sure.
You're able to go and use that $5-6 million for actual projects. So it's been part of what has kept us up. You know, in 2021 we became the lowest tax county in the state of Minnesota of the 87 counties.
Sure.
And I really believe that what was able to do that is not having the debt allowed us to still make good investments,
mm-hmm.
but not have to go in and raise taxes at the level that other counties were having to.
Right. And the other thing, and we've talked about it extensively in this studio, is that residents of the county see the benefit in when you set the levy for property taxes every year. You've been able to hold those levies at 0% increases for that. I mean, the taxes might still go up because of increased property values, but the levy that you set generally doesn't get increased very much.
The last time we raised the levy in Dakota County was the was pre-COVID. So so that was the last time and I know maybe that's good or bad, but COVID feels like it's been about 10 years. It's only been three. But but the fact is that on your county portion now, we only control about 20% of the tax bill. But but we've been able to still make investments. Our budget has actually grown, but we've been able to do other things. And
mm-hmm.
And some of that is just, you know, we try to communicate and tell that story so often to residents and businesses of kind of here's how we try to do things.
Right. And I'm going to use that as a segue, too, into some of the good things going on around the county. The news broke probably early last week that the county is expanding Lake Billesby Regional Park. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there and what kind of things we can expect from that expansion.
Sure. So we entered into an agreement to purchase some of the kind of riverfront of the Cannon River and the bottoms area from the Augustine family.
Okay.
About 100 plus acres will be added to the western end of the park. That's going to be the natural area. That's before you get into Lake Bilsby, but it's part of Lake Bilsby Regional Park System. And it's always been part of the master plan. In fact, the Augustine family has always said their intent was to sell it as they got older and realized, but they just it had to get through some family members to make sure that it was the right time.
Mm-hmm.
That in the big master plan, that will actually be part of there's going to be a lot more natural resource restoration there, but there will be some primitive camping, and the eventual Milltowns Trail is planned to go through that part of the park system. So that's the trail from basically from Mankato all the way. It has a couple different names, but Mankato to Red Wing is the DNR trail on that DNR paved trail system. So right now it's up to Northfield, and it's working its way, and it's actually up to Bilsby Park on the east end.
Nice.
So there's pretty much mostly the Dakota County area that has to go through, and there's not a route that's been designated yet. The only part that has is that when the county did its master plan on Bilsby, they said this is where we'd like the trail to go.
So. Okay. I also understand that a lot of the land that was purchased has been used as farmland, and it's going to be returned to its natural kind of savanna setup. And what is the timeline on something like that? Is the sale complete and you can start working on this?
So the sale is, so a lot of times how we end up working on this, there's a lot of voter-approved funding for natural restoration in that.
Yep.
So we're going to apply for the funding that will pay for a majority of it through, as the voters went and passed the sales tax to kind of do some clean water and habitat stuff.
Okay.
We've been very successful in Dakota County on that program, as well as the monies from the lottery. So the lottery funds, which is also helping to fund the bison, have also been very successful. Like right now they're doing a major restoration at Shars Bluff Spring Lake the ravines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a multi-million dollar project to restore the ravines, which have been kind of sinking in and caving in, and clean up some of the trees that just don't make sense and the right planting. Well, that was paid over 80% by lottery funds. So what we'll do on this one is we will use our county property tax dollars as the matching, and then we'll continue to put that into our plan. So the plan with the bottoms of that, once it's been purchased, is to get that into a request with the state of Minnesota for some cleanup dollars.
And that'll probably come from the DNR and...
Well, it could come from a couple different ones. There's actually a called Lasard Sams that has so the legislature actually goes and has subcommittees of that and the LCCMR, and so there's a number of different things that the state legislature is pretty influential in, and they do have citizen advisory with that. For example, former state representative Denny McNamara serves on one of those boards that makes the decisions on where that goes. So that's kind of been a little bit to our advantage, as having a person who understands Dakota County up there to make the case. And we've been trying to be very good stewards of the land, so it works out well. So that's a big project there. And the other aspect that's kind of neat about that is, and I don't believe we've actually talked about this, and we have done a lot of prairie restoration. We, as a county, have about 6,000 acres of in our system.
Right.
And a lot of that was former farm fields that we're turning back into the prairie to kind of do that part in there. Well, we started going in, and now that we have some established prairies, we've been collecting our own seeds and growing some of our own plants.
Wow, nice.
And we just entered into a partnership with the Master Gardeners, Dakota County Master Gardeners, and Minnesota University of Minnesota Extension,
right?
That we're helping to fund a part-time position for their Master Gardener, which they've been... You know, there are hundreds of hardcore master gardeners, but they're actually going to be growing our plants for our prairie plants. So they're helping us with the – we have volunteers that are collecting the seeds, and we were kind of doing that. So they're going to have a hoop house and a greenhouse to grow plants for our own park system that we're going to be collecting from our own prairie. They believe the overall – so the value of what we've kind of been doing just by – the volunteers are about $35,000 in savings by doing that. And by having our own seeds instead of buying seed mixes is about $100,000 savings right there.
Wow.
With so that's what we were doing on our own, was just collecting our seeds, mixing them together, and then throwing them back on the prairie after a prairie burn. Now we're going to do that, throw our seed down, but we're also going to have the Master Gardeners planting some of them, so they'll be get rooted a little faster and getting in there. They believe between what we're currently doing with the collecting seeds, cleaning seeds, spreading it ourselves, and then this new plant plant program will be about a $300,000 a year savings to Dakota County.
And I know that a lot of people listening would express concern about making provisions in the plan for pollinators. pardon me. Bringing back and doing that yourself is going to make good habitat for pollinators as they come in. I'm sure that's part of the plan.
So, and anyone who's from kind of the Hastings area of your listening audience already probably knows you go out to Shire's Bluff now, and that was that was cornfields not that many years ago, or it was just kind of scrub trees that did that, and then now you have some prairies with flowers galore. So it's a you go out a couple different times a year that flowers are going in there. So absolutely, that's we've seen a butterfly and a bee population come back as a result of that. So
that is good to hear. We are just about out of time at this point, Commissioner. And what I would like to do at this time is, as always, provide you the opportunity to give your contact information if people have questions or concerns or have other input that they'd like to provide.
Absolutely, sure. So, love hearing from people. I would say that a couple ways to reach me is you can always call my office number, which is 651-438-4427. You can send me an email, see me at the grocery store, or Facebook or Twitter, that seems to kind of go on there. Yep. And all of my contact information is on the county website. If you go to dakotacounty.us, click on commissioners, you'll get all of the ways to get a hold of me.
All right. I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In-Depth, Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Commissioner Slavik, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this has been Community In-Depth.